والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We read in history books about how past empires conquered new lands through terror and massacres, how those lands were ethnically cleansed, how property and farmland and trees were destroyed, and villages were razed to the ground. My brothers and sisters, while this is something that we read used to occur hundreds of years ago, it is also what our brothers and sisters in Palestine endured 75 years ago. Between 1947 and 1949, at least 750,000 Palestinians were made refugees. 530 villages and cities were ethnically cleansed and destroyed, and 15,000 were killed in a series of mass atrocities, including more than 70 massacres. This was what is referred to as the Nakba, the catastrophe that they faced. And every single day since then, they faced the brutalities of occupation and continued aggression and unprecedented human rights abuses in their own homeland. But even in the midst of all this darkness and oppression, it is heartwarming to see that even after 75 years, they continue to hold their heads high, and a vast majority of the Muslim Ummah has not forsaken Palestine. And in fact, many and a growing number of people of conscience who are not Muslims continue and are starting to and are continuing to speak out. And I want to specifically acknowledge the leaders, the political leaders, the politicians who had the courage to stand up and to recognize this reality, because education is a key component of sharing what has happened to ensure that it is not buried, to ensure that it is not forgotten, and to ensure that is not misrepresented. Historically, my brothers and sisters, this land has held a very great importance in the hearts of Muslims, which is underlined by its special link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messengers alayhim as-salatu wassalam. As we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it, refers to it in the Quran, in Surah Al-Isra, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, glory be to the one who took his servant, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by night from the sacred mosque, from Masjid al-Haram, to the farthest mosque, to Masjid al-Aqsa, whose surroundings we have blessed. And Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu reported that he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, which masjid was built first on the earth? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, Al-Masjid al-Haram, the sacred masjid of Mecca. And then he asked again, which was next? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Masjid al-Aqsa. And then he asked further that how long was the period between the building of these two masajid, of these two mosques? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 40 years apart. And then he went on to say, apart from these, offer your prayers anywhere when it is time to pray, although excellence is in praying in these mosques, in these masajid, as related in Sahih al-Bukhari. Regarding the importance of visiting Masjid al-Aqsa, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تُشَدُّ الرِّحَالُ إِلَّا إِلَىٰ ثَلَاثَةِ مَسَاجِدِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَمَسْجِدِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمِ وَمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. You should not undertake a special journey, meaning a religious journey, to visit any place other than the following three masajid, meaning with the expectation of a greater reward. And he listed the three: the sacred Masjid of Mecca, the Masjid of Mine, meaning Masjid al-Nabwi, and al-Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. It was also reported that Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said that we were discussing in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam which of them was more virtuous, the Masjid of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam or al-Bayt al-Maqdis, meaning Masjid al-Aqsa. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "One prayer in my Masjid is better than four prayers there, but it is still a good place of prayer." And then he went on to say something very profound. وَلَا يُوشِكَنَّ أَن يَكُونَ لِلْرَّجُلِ مِثْلُ الشَّطَنِ فَرَسِهِ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ حَيْثُ يَرَى مِنْهُ بَيْتَ الْمَقْدِسِ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا جَمِيعًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on to say, soon there will come a time that if a man has a spot of land as big as his horse's rope, from which he can see Baytul Maqdis, that will be better for him than the whole world. A time will come, soon a time will come, when a man who has a spot of land as big as his horse's rope. How big is a land? How big is a horse's rope? Right? You know, meaning how small is it? Right? So even if a person has a land of that size from which he can see Baytul Maqdis, that will be better for him than the whole world, and this is reported as Sahih from Al-Hakim. One prayer in Masjid al-Nabawi is equivalent to 1,000 prayers elsewhere in terms of reward. So one prayer in Masjid al-Aqsa is equivalent to 250 prayers elsewhere, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Abdullah ibn Hawala al-Azdi radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam put his hand on his head. He says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam put his hand on my head and said, يَبْنَ حَوَالَ O Ibn Hawala, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الْخِلَافَةَ قَدْ نَزَلَتِ الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةِ فَقَدْ دَنَتِ الزَّلَازِلِ وَالْبَلَابِلِ وَالْأُمُورُ الْعِظَامِ وَالسَّاعَةُ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَقْرَبُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مِنْ يَدِي هَذِهِ مِنْ رَأْسِكِ. He said, O Ibn Hawala, if you see the Khilafah, the Caliphate has taken abode in the Holy Land, in Ard al-Muqaddasah, then earthquakes, tribulations, and great events are at hand. The last hour on that day will be closer to people than my hand is to your head. Meaning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prophesied that when the Khilafah is established in that land, there will be trials and tribulations, there will be chaos and turmoil, and people will be closer to the Day of Judgment than they ever have been. Imam al-Khattabi rahmatullahi alayhi, he understood this Khilafah to mean the Khilafah of Banu Umayyah, and he understood or explained this Ard al-Muqaddasah, this holy land, to refer to as the land of Sham. And others have taken it, other scholars have taken it as a prophecy for the coming of, or regarding the Khilafah of the Mahdi, with the holy land referring to Jerusalem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also reported to have said that a group of my ummah will remain upon the truth, and they will vanquish their opponents and those who disagree with them, and they will not be able to harm them until Allah's command. And the companions radiallahu anhum asked that where they will be, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said that they will be in and around Baytul Maqdis. And this part about the Baytul Maqdis, some of the scholars of hadith say that there is some issue with regards to its strength in terms of the chain of narration, this last part of the hadith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is the same area in which the Masjid of Sulaiman alayhi salam stood, referred to by the Jewish people as the Temple Mount, and it is their holiest site. The Romans had destroyed it and turned it into a trash dump, and had forbade them from worshipping there. And it was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu who liberated Jerusalem and helped clean up the trash with his own hands, and gave the Jewish people the right to reside in Jerusalem and to pray on the Temple Mount without interference. Today, sadly, this blessed land has turned into a land of oppression and occupation, recognized as being illegal by the international community. Now, there are two primary reasons that Palestine is of significance to us, and of course there is the religious significance that we have just discussed, and of course we have a duty to stand against oppression and injustice, and there is no doubt with regards to this. My brothers and sisters, there are so many Muslims around the world. The number of Muslims has never been greater ever in the history of Islam. Yet, we feel helpless in the face of these challenges. And there is much to be said if we analyze the history and the politics and divisions that have been gripping this ummah. But I want to leave you, inshallah, with three underlying factors that must be addressed. Otherwise, our situation collectively as an ummah is perhaps unlikely to change. First of all, Thawban radiallahu anhu said, relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُوشِكُ الْأُمَمُ أَن تَدَاعَى عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا تَدَاعَى الْأَكَلَةُ إِلَىٰ قَصْعَتِهَا. He reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is close, it is near, that the nations will call one another against you just as the eaters call one another to their dishes. It is near that the nations will call each other against you just as the eaters call one another to their dishes. And one of the companions asked, وَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ, that is this because we will be few in numbers that day? They could not fathom that there will be such a time when the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be so weak and in such a state that the opponents will be ready to feast upon them. So they wondered, is this because they will be few in number? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and said, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ كَثِيرٌ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ, that actually on that day you shall be numerous, but you will be like the foam of the sea. My brothers and sisters, if you have seen the foam of the sea, it is weightless, it is worthless, it goes whichever way the tide comes. The wave comes one way, it will go in that direction. If it comes the other way, it will get thrown around to the other direction. So this is the example, this is the prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the state of the ummah, not because of small or low numbers, not because of the numbers. And the Prophet ﷺ went on to explain the condition or the reason of that condition. وَلَيَنْزَعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ عَدُوِّكُمُ الْمَهَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَيَقْذِفَنَّ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمُ الْوَهْنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will take the fear of you away from your opponents and will place weakness into your hearts. What's notable here, my brothers and sisters, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that who is going to do this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the doer of this. وَلَيَنْزَعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ عَدُوِّكُمُ الْمَهَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away the fear of you from your opponents and will place weakness into your hearts. So somebody asked, because this is mind-boggling, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is prophesizing a time when the believers are large in number, they're not small in number, yet they are weightless and they are being thrown around from one side to the other like the foam of the sea. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is putting them in that condition by taking away, you know, the fear from their opponents and placing weakness into their hearts. So somebody asked that what is this weakness? That wama al-wahn. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ, the love of the world and the dislike of death. What did he say? What is this weakness? The love of the world and the dislike of death. So my brothers and sisters, the love of the world and the dislike of death, meaning obsession with worldly and temporary matters and materials, ignoring the reality of death and what is to follow, lack of courage and bravery. Because you see, there is no shortage of wealth in this ummah today. Perhaps it has never been as wealthy before as it is today. But the love of dunya has set in, and the primary concern has become about enjoying life and making good in this world, becoming wealthy and enjoying the luxuries of this world, and not what is to come next. Secondly, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا and hold firmly to the rope of Allah altogether and do not become divided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, as we discussed last week, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ The believers are but brothers, so make settlement, make peace between your brothers. What we find, my brothers and sisters, is the divisions are so deeply ingrained and so polarizing that there is true hatred to be found in the hearts of the believers. And instead of reconciling, we end up perpetuating divisions. And those, as I mentioned last time, those who want to harm, take advantage, full advantage of the situation to leave us and to continue to keep us divided while they go ahead and do whatever they wish to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. May He remove our hearts. May He unite our hearts and remove from our hearts this weakness and this love for the dunya and the dislike for death. Finally, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Mumtahana, ayah number 8 and ayah number 9, لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah does not forbid you from dealing kindly and fairly with those who have neither fought nor driven you out of your homes. Surely Allah loves those who are fair. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and tells us something that is very important and very relevant to our situation. إِنَّمَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَأَخْرَجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ وَظَاهَرُوا عَلَىٰ إِخْرَاجِكُمْ أَن تَوَلَّوْهُمْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah only forbids you from befriending those who have fought you for your faith, who have driven you out of your homes, or supported others in doing so. And whoever takes them as friends, then it is they who are the true wrongdoers. So this is a warning for all of us, my brothers and sisters, that we must be diligent and we must understand which side we are on and who we are to support and who we are not to support. We must do whatever is within our means, which is wise and permissible, to take action, whether it is political pressure, whether it is advocacy, whether it is education. All of these are important pieces and they are all good. But if we want meaningful and long-term change, then we must start with ourselves. We must start with ourselves by correcting our own state, the state of our hearts, the state of our homes, of our communities, of our societies, and inshallah you will see that positive change will come and will spread, inshallah. You must replace the love of this dunya with the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Live for the akhirah and not for this world, while of course taking advantage of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, but using them as means to an end and not as the end. And not to let differences cause hatred and animosity, to try to be uniters and peacemakers, not dividers, and not to under any circumstances befriend those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us from befriending. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the people of Palestine and Al-Aqsa and to protect all of the masajid around the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all of the oppressed people around the world, to replace oppression and occupation with peace and justice. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to foil the plots of those who wish to cause harm to the believers and to the innocent. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts from the love of this world and to remove hatred and animosity and to unite us all in goodness. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll take a quick break, inshallah.